Good morning.
Well, what are the risks that Canadians trapped in Sudan are facing?
This is a very violent and volatile situation. More than 400 people have been killed already in what may be the beginning of a large-scale civil war. People need to get out. There have been lots of warnings. There is a small window. The two main fighting factions, the Rapid Support Forces, RSF, and the Sudan Armed Forces, SAF, each led by rival generals who had cooperated before in order to get rid of the previous government, but now each one of them wants to become the leader of the country, have agreed to this 72-hour window, which may not last. So the sooner we and other countries get our people out, the better it's likely to be.
How does that have to happen? Like, what are the main challenges that governments face when it comes to getting people out of their a war zone like this?
There are problems of communication, of logistics, and also of political will. The communications problem, it is local. Internet services are not very reliable. If you are going to get to people by email, for example, it's very hard. We have had examples now of people who have got messages that came quite late. They could not get to the assembly point, and they had to find other means of getting out. Then there is the logistical problem of having people come to an assembly point, whether it is in the capital of Khartoum or to the port of Port Sudan, where they could be evacuated by naval vessels. But there also has to be will. The Americans have enormous capacity, but they do not have a tremendous amount of political will. On the contrary, the Biden administration has been remarkably timid in many areas, but particularly here. They do not want to see a replication of what happened in Kabul, the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, and the visual images. They only sent in a couple of helicopters. They extracted fewer than 100 people, including six Canadians. The British, the Germans, the French, Italians have been much more bold. They have sent in aircraft. We got some of our people out by German aircraft, and we may have some aircraft standing by, at least one aircraft, a Canadian C-117, but we have very limited capacity. Our armed forces have been underfunded for many years, and when it comes to a crisis like this, we see the effects of that underfunding.
Our Foreign Affairs Minister, Melanie Joly, says they're exploring options to help Canadians stuck in Sudan. What do you think Canada's play here could be?
I'm glad to know that we're exploring all options because there is tremendous urgency. Communications is a general problem. Capacity is an issue for Canada in particular, so we need to cooperate with allies who have been generous in getting Canadians out. But we may have as many as 1,500 Canadians plus. So it is entirely conceivable that we will not get many people out. And if this indeed devolves into a civil conflict, then weeks from now, even months from now, we will see desperate people trying to get out, and we will have to find ways of getting them out across land routes and so on, to Egypt and Chad or Ethiopia. And this would be risky and expensive, and we might have to deal with unsavory local officials or others to help Canadians out. And this is why it is so very important that we learn the lesson, as well as other citizens, that Canadian, American, British, so on, citizenship does not protect you in the case of a civil war. You need to get out when the situation is volatile, and there'll be warnings about this. And some people, of course, have difficulty leaving their citizens, but others need to heed the warning that once the conflict escalates, it is very hard or maybe too late to get them out.
To your knowledge, what has the Canadian government done so far?
We have clearly cooperated with our allies. The Americans helped us out with our diplomats. The Germans have helped us to get non-diplomatic personnel out. But when you are looking at large numbers like 1,500, then we should see if we can do the same thing as the Italians have done. They have sent in C-130. They're sending more aircraft like that. The Jordanians have had several aircraft land. The Germans are doing it. The British are using naval forces. So whatever assets we have, we should try to get them there as quickly as possible. But we also have to be aware that some of this will be funding that we will have to spend money to transfer those funds to allies to help us with the logistics, and later on funds to find other means of getting Canadian citizens out of Sudan, unless, you know, the situation changes dramatically and the two parties reach a settlement and there is no conflict. That would be the best outcome. But there's not a tremendous amount of optimism that that is likely to happen.
I was going to ask about that, the kind of conflict analysis. What are the, I guess, hopes for a path to de-escalation?
At the moment, there is much more pessimism than optimism, because each party led by General Burhan and General Dagalo, they do not seem to have the ability to come to some compromise solution. They are supported externally by different countries. Egypt supports the Sudan Armed Forces. UAE supports the RSF. And so with external manipulation or support, with internal ambitions, the prospects at the moment do not look particularly encouraging. And therefore, it is wise for any Canadian citizen to get out as fast as possible, not to count on that resolution. If the best scenario does occur, they could always go back. But in terms of a balance of prudence, it would be really essential to move as quickly. Anybody who can get out, they should get out. Anything we can do, we have to do now. We should front load whatever we are going to do in terms of rescue.
Yeah, very good. Oral, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.